Hello and welcome to this broadcast of the World Youth Symphony Orchestra at Interlaken. I'm Kate Botello. Broadcasts of the World Youth Symphony Orchestra are made possible in part by Yamaha Corporation of America, the world's largest maker of musical instruments, sharing passion and performance for more than 25 years. Each year, the Interlaken Arts Camp draws musicians from high schools all over the world to the forests and lakes of northern Michigan. They start out as strangers, but within a week, they're performing as the fully formed WISO.
I look at all these young people and think there are so many challenges for them that every week they are here at WISO, they have to master. First of all, they probably have not seen each other for a very long time, if ever. So they are not a blended group. They don't play together. So they have to figure out who is my neighbor, what do they do, how do they play intonation, etc., etc.
That's Carlos Calmar, music director of the Oregon Symphony and our guest conductor for the WISO's fifth week. He says the young musicians are pretty eager right out of the gate.
There are always big eyes, and there is so much excitement, even though we work so stubbornly hard. Because on one side, of course, they know the pieces because they listen to it. And in case of the Dvořák Symphony, the number 8 that we are playing, of course, I mean, that probably has accompanied most of them for a long while. But this might be the first time they are actually playing it. And the Ravel concerto, yeah, probably they heard about it. And some of the, especially the wind players, have been looking forward to this work because it is so incredibly challenging for them. And yeah, I mean, when you are young, you're like, hey, give me the hardest thing there is. I will tackle it. So the work is really pleasant. I always aim at balance between... you know, in music, music is a lot about feelings. And feelings, of course, you pour your heart out. In some pieces more than others. But you pour your heart, your spirituality, your inner self out together with the musicians you work with. But where the intellect comes into place is the heart alone will not do. Meaning... a warm heart with a still functioning brain, or a really great brain with a wonderful warm heart, and that in balance makes actually a great musician.
Tonight's concert features two works, Maurice Ravel's Piano Concerto in G and Antonin Dvorak's Symphony No. 8. Our soloist for the Ravel is pianist and award-winning composer Conrad Tau.
One thing... I tell this to all musicians, really listen, like learn to listen, like listen to, and that means a lot of things. I mean, really listen to as many different kinds of music as you can, just to, you know, widen your frame of reference, because the wider your frame of reference is, the more you, and just the more you know, and the more you can draw on. You know, if you widen your frame of reference, your like affective dictionary becomes much bigger. You have a much wider understanding of the different registers of emotion that you can tap into. You have a greater understanding of like the wide variety of musical styles and genres and histories across the world. Especially because this is a field where, in a lot of ways, a very very narrow version of history is propagated a lot of the time. You know, Western classical music is a very, very specific cultural narrative. And so it's very important to understand that it is just one in a long, multifaceted array of musical languages. Just, you know, one in a very, very kaleidoscopic array of musical languages and histories and traditions. So that is very valuable. And you know, and so that's one aspect of listening, but also then just listen to what people say. And, you know, it's the best way to learn how to take criticism is to really like listen hard to what people are actually saying. Don't take things personally. Don't take things personally, because it's almost never actually about you. And if it is actually kind of about you, it's still not really about you. You know, if someone makes things personal, it's more about them. I wish someone had told me that when I was younger. It would have been very useful. And then the other thing is just really, and this sounds so banal, but I don't think it is, because it's not easy to execute or to remember. Just keep having fun with it. Like, remember that on some level, it's play too. And I think that, I don't know, I feel like we take ourselves, I feel like the conservatory environment especially, which is, you know, an environment I've been familiar with, I think people take themselves really seriously sometimes. And I think that there's a very important distinction between taking your work very seriously and applying, like, extremely rigorous standards to it, and then taking yourself really seriously. Like, one basically stifles your ability to laugh and to be a human person, and you know, and then one allows you to just produce good work. So pick that one, you know, just take your work really seriously, but remember to have fun with it, and don't take yourself that, you know, that those are the things that are more valuable, I think. All the musician specific stuff, you know, that's different for every person. That is actually 100% different for every person. I mean, when you teach, you have to constantly be thinking, you know, what is this person's method of working, and what is this person's technical style? Like, how do you, you know, that's what teaching really is, sort of understanding what this person's needs are and how to coax the best out of them and encourage them and facilitate creation and all of that stuff. But the general, it's more just general, like, learn to be a human, learn to be a creative human without going crazy. That's more of where the advice comes from.
The Ravel Piano Concerto in G is distinctly jazz-flavored, especially in the first and third movements, but conductor Kalmar says Ravel intended the piece to be classical in its ideas.
It's actually interesting that Ravel intended this to be a concerto in the tradition of what he perceived as Mozart did, and Saint-Saëns. Now, Mozart, we could even open a debate whether Mozart piano concerto are exactly what he meant, Ravel himself, but Saint-Saëns for sure is. So he wanted to aim for the lighthearted, it is at times amusing, but let's have a jolly good time. That's what he wanted. Now, in that mix, he put a couple of interesting things into that. One is that, so the piece opens, essentially the pianist is already playing, but not the main melody. So essentially the piece opens with the piccolo and then the trumpet playing really important solos. And it is, the gaiety of the mood is amazing and the energy is great. And then everything calms down and now the piano takes it away with something that is a little bit jazzy, because Ravel wanted actually to play towards the American public. Mm-hmm. And he does this very well. Also, it has to be mentioned that Ravel was absolutely amazed about what George Gershwin was capable of doing. He was a great admirer. So that's the first movement. And also the last movement is kind of in that character. And this concert would probably have this stamp, or it would have written all over it, oh, that's the funny Ravel concerto, if he wouldn't have written the second movement.
The second movement of the concerto is a gorgeous slow section that flows out as though it were one continuous thought. Well, it sounds like one continuous thought, but for Ravel, it wasn't.
Very different thing. Not at all tragic or anything, but we are here encountering one of the deepest, most beautiful movements for piano and orchestra ever written. And it's written over the rhythm of a very slow waltz, but that is already a bit deceiving, without going into too much technical detail about this movement. But the great thing is that the melody is long and gets longer and longer, and the breath you have to take are amazing. It's this sense of you are playing forever. Now, funny detail is that as easy as the first and third movement came to Ravel when he wrote them, as difficult it was for him to write the second. So you hear the second movement and you perceive this flow and you think, oh, it poured out of Maurice Ravel like nothing. And the truth is, no, it didn't. He really had trouble with this. Sometimes it took him 2 bars per day, and then he said, no, this is not what I want to say. And he squeezed it out, but it came out okay.
The concertmaster has finished tuning. The orchestra is in place. Carlos Kalmar takes the podium in Kresge Auditorium to conduct the World Youth Symphony Orchestra in the Ravel Piano Concerto in G with our soloist, Conrad Tau.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pianist Conrad Tau, our featured soloist, performed Maurice Ravel's Piano Concerto in G with the World Youth Symphony Orchestra at Interlaken under the baton of Carlos Kalmar. As you can hear from the wild applause, the audience loved that performance, so Conrad Tau treated us to an encore.
Thank you very much for that. I have one more piece I'd love to play for you tonight. This is a piece by the American composer Elliot Carter. This is a piece called Catenaire, or Catenaries. I think Carter was about 98 or 99 at the time of its composition. So keep that in mind.
Conrad Tau with an encore to his wonderful performance, Catenaire, by Elliot Carter. Up next on the bill tonight, Antonin Dvorak's Symphony No. 8. Now, this is considered by many to be a pretty joyful work by Dvorak, especially when heard in comparison to his much darker Symphony No. 7. But conductor Kalmar says it doesn't necessarily equate joyful with something light and pretty.
The character lacks to the dramatism of the Seventh Symphony. But it's actually a symphony of happiness. And although it's not written in every explanation that you read about the Dvořák Symphony No. 8, but the key is actually to remember a composer who was his friend, like Johannes Brahms. So Johannes Brahms, once upon a time when he was writing one of his symphonies, wrote this symphony, I'm talking about No. 2. No. 2 of Brahms was written in a place in Austria on a lake surrounded by mountains that is so breathtakingly beautiful. And that is how the music came about. Now, if you take that and translate it to Dvorak and not to the Alps and not to an Austrian lake, you have exactly what surrounded him And why did it happen? Because we have been talking about that sometimes you have to squeeze out a movement. Oh, Dvořák didn't have to squeeze out. It just poured. He was in a good place. He was, as a person, in a good place. He was in a good place in nature. So surrounded by all that beauty, it just came to him. And it's so unbelievably melodically rich, this symphony, that one theme happens and then happens the next, and you cannot wait. Now, the thing that gets me is that is interesting is, yes, it's a G major symphony, and yes, it's kind of a very happy. And I'm not talking about tragic tones, but it's actually very often in minor keys. Mm-hmm. So the first movement starts actually in minor key. The third movement is in a minor key, most of the time. So, but still, it's this. It's not the melancholy. It's more the sentiment of what reigns in those moments. And this is one of those symphonies. I admit that I'm an absolute Dvořák fan. Where every note you just adore.
I asked the conductor about the main thing he hoped the Wajsa would take away from their time with him.
I think for them it's very important to play core repertoire first. Not only, but first. So, although there are other symphonies by Dvořák, for example, that are very interesting, and I'm not talking about New World. Yeah, sure. Everybody knows that one. But there are even earlier symphonies that are amazing pieces of music. It's not what they need. They need something that is kind of amongst the 60 pieces that an orchestra musician has to have on their lips or hands at all times. This is one of them.
Well, I'm sure that after this week with Carlos Kalmar, the Wajsa will hold the Dvořák dear for the rest of their lives. Maestro Kalmar approaches the podium. Here is the World Youth Symphony Orchestra with Antonín Dvořák's Symphony No. 8. Carlos Kalmar conducted the World Youth Symphony Orchestra at Interlaken in Dvorak's 8th Symphony. Broadcasts of the World Youth Symphony Orchestra from Interlaken are made possible in part by Yamaha Corporation of America, the world's largest maker of musical instruments, sharing passion and performance for more than 25 years. The WISO performs Sunday evenings in the summertime. Tonight at 8 p.m. on Interlaken's campus, conductor Jung Ho Park and the WISO will perform the grand finale to the concert season.